there. Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit of the Morning. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you today. So let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, you've brought us to another day, and for that we say thank you. We know you have big plans for us today, so Father, use us for whatever you need. We ask you to give us the strength, the grace that we need to be able to tackle any problem or any situation, any challenge that comes our way. Father, we ask you to heal those who are sick. We ask you to help those who are lonely, those who are suffering with anxiety, those who are on the verge of despair. We ask you to help anyone who is dealing with anxiety or with loneliness today. We lift up our government leaders. We pray for peace in the world. We ask for our own intentions, whatever they may be. We ask you to help us with those. Let us know what we can do, and then we let you take over from there. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to all of us. And I specifically ask for you to speak through us on the program today so that we may proclaim your message on Spirit in the Morning. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Now I feel better now that I prayed. My name is Gary Zimek, and this is Spirit in the Morning. Today on the show, we're going to be joined on our Pro-Life Thursday segment by none other than Jeannie Mancini, who is the president of the March for Life. I've got some things I want to talk to Jeannie about. One of the things is the topic, the theme for the 2018 March for Life. That was announced within the past few weeks. Jeannie's going to be telling us about that. Also on the show, Father Wade Menezes will be here. You're probably familiar with him. He's on EWTN many times. He's written several books, including his latest, The Four Last Things, a catechetical guide to death, judgment, heaven, and hell from EWTN Publishing. So we're going to talk to Father Wade about that right now. I'm going to introduce the one, the only, Dave Parker.
Hey, Gary, good morning.
Dave, you are looking great today. Love the shirt.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Always looking good.
Oh, you have an Eagle shirt on. Wow, brother.
I can't believe it. Frank Eliasson, for the first day, does not have an Eagles shirt on.
It's cold out there. I'm wearing flannel.
What'd you do, memo each other?
I decided to go with the nice warm flannel for today.
Yeah, it's a good day for flannel out there.
Good morning, Garrett.
Good morning. Guys, by the way, you know, we touched on this yesterday on the program. I put a post on my blog over at followingthetruth.com last night. I finally sat down, and after celebrating our one-year anniversary, I came up with a partial list of the guests.
Partial.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The people that the Holy Spirit has sent us to be able to be on this show. I mean, we're talking hundreds of all-stars.
Yeah. Yes. Fantastic. I mean, it's just phenomenal. All these words, superlatives, come to mind.
Yeah.
And you did it.
And I want to thank, while I'm here able to do this, I want to thank both of you guys. Because without you two, this show, and without the management of Holy Spirit Radio, this show would not exist. So I'm grateful for that. I really am.
You get the guests, and you know, I know the Holy Spirit inspires some of them, but ultimately you take that effort and certainly bring in some of these really amazing guests to this local program. Mm-hmm. It really gives it a certain flair. Mix that with the music that really grabs you in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we see it with a lot of the people who comment to us and communicate with us now, or donate, or do any number of things. A lot of them weren't listening in the past, and now are. So we're bringing people in, and you know, so that to me is what's inspiring about this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, and our second guest is new, I think.
Father Wade has not been on the show, and you know that
I'd love Father Wade,
and so
awesome.
Do I. But let's and Frank, we were down at EWTN at the radio conference last year. Father Wade gave an outstanding talk. Right before allowing us to go to confession. And it's like, oh, I couldn't wait to get to confession by the time he was done with us. But it's really good. Now, look, today, it's a tough topic. Four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. I mean, for a morning show, that's a tough topic. But we're not afraid to touch on the tough topics. But we try to present them in an uplifting manner, right?
That's right. And ultimately, if you really look at it, we've had some tough conversations over the past year, and some that, you know, in many ways shock us. But ultimately, you know, it's really good for the listener. It's important conversations that need to be had sometimes, but it done in a positive way, because there is so much positive out there. You know, we may not see it day in and day out. We may not always feel it, but if you really look closely, there's a lot of positive out there right now.
Absolutely.
There is. And again, Jeannie Mancini, March for Life. Abortion is a tough topic. And last night, Jeannie tweeted something. I'm going to talk about it today. She said something is deeply wrong in our culture when a teenager getting an abortion is celebrated as a victory.
Yes,
we're going to talk about that. That was covered on the Sunrise Morning Show. Jeannie's a positive person, though.
Yes.
And we can't get discouraged. I mean, our job here is to give you the truth. We talked about the Protestant Reformation yesterday. I mean, that's another thing that we could let drag us down, these divisions. But more important than that, I think, is the motivation to go forward, to do something, to make a difference, to turn to the Lord, ask for the strength, and then do something, something positive, to change the world for the better.
Yeah, we all have a way that we can bring positive things to the world that actually bring people to faith, bring people to do. It's faith in action. And, you know, I think if you really start to look at a lot of the guests that you've had over the past year, they're filled with faith in action.
Absolutely. I would say discern. Everyone has gifts. So some of them are still searching for them. So discern what your gift or gifts are, and then put them to use in the vineyard, so to speak, you know, for God's glory, whatever they are. And that's
whatever
what he
they
wants,
are, right?
You know, put them in action.
Right. And sometimes, and I think we had this discussion with Kelly Walquist when she was in the studio on Friday. Sometimes we personally don't know what our gift is.
No.
And yet somebody else can help us with that.
Yes.
I mean, there's not a person that God created that does not have some sort of a special charism. We've all got something. And I've heard it from numerous people. I don't have any gifts. There's nothing I can do. But that's not true.
Well, that was my point. I mean, we all have them. And it's maybe you have to discern. And then it may take some time.
It
might,
yeah.
Regardless of your age.
Right.
But oftentimes, you know, I put something on Facebook yesterday, but basically if you have to say you're something, you probably aren't. But one of the points behind that is others are better able to understand what you're about sometimes. It's not something that I'm great at this. Well, you're probably not that great at it. But someone else says, you're great at this. You know, Gary, you're great at getting these guests. You're great at creating an inspirational show. You know, that's something, if I say it, that's much more powerful. And so one of the things I would say is look around you, listen to people around you, hear what they're telling you. They do know your gifts. They see it in and out each and every day.
Can I also, let me jump in. You know, because Gary, you said, you know, sometimes we do some really heavy, heady topics, but we also lighten it up. So that's one part of our show. I mean, we want to be uplifting and funny, and we are, you know, at times, and we work well together.
Sometimes we don't intend to be funny.
That's right.
Well,
that's
true,
we are.
But that's why.
That's more often than not.
That's so true.
But Dave, you're right. It is a mix. And I think the thing is that we can't shy away from the tough topics sometimes, because that's life. That's reality. But with God on our side, everything's going to be okay, right? And there's always something we can do.
Yeah. Well, you want to hear one that's really on my heart this morning?
Oh, yeah, please.
I mean, and look at Phil. I wake up every morning, look at local news, and this morning there were two young men killed yesterday in some kind of standoff. But I mean, and it just made me think. Look at Philadelphia. Every morning I wake up, there are shootings, there are stabbings.
Yeah.
I mean, we really need to pray for our city, you know.
Good point, Dave.
The Spirit put on my heart. And other cities, but I mean, here we are. And I was thinking,
the city of brotherly love,
the city
right?
of brotherly love. And you know, I know there are community organizations, the police and others and civic organizations, but we really have to get the word out. We really have to get a handle on this. Senseless violence or, you know, whatever. So,
but excellent point, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a heavy topic. And I was sitting there watching, and I just, I have to say something, so thank you.
But the problem sometimes is we become so desensitized, we'll watch the news, and we almost treat it as if it's a TV show, but it's real.
Exactly.
And like you said, we need to pray. I mean, there's something we can always do. We can pray.
Yeah.
Lord, please bring an end to this violence. Please help all involved, right?
Yes. One always of the victims went to St. Joe's Prep.
Wow.
I mean, and the community is hurting.
Yeah.
But every morning we wake up, and the community is hurting in certain parts of it because someone's loved one was killed or hurt.
Right.
So we got to stop this.
Right. Well said. Well said. Thank you for sharing that. Quick look at the weather right now, currently at the Philadelphia.
Cold.
Yeah, it is. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport.
Let's move on.
What are you, give me your guess at the Philly airport right now.
42?
48.
Ah.
With
see.
A few clouds.
Today, I'm a little colder than most people then right now.
Yeah, today partly
although
sunny.
Although we're in Doylestown, it always seems colder here.
Partly sunny with a high near 59 today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear. Low around 44. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, sunny with a high near 64. Okay, at the moment in Westchester, Dave Parker, what do you think it is in Westchester at the present time?
I think it's 44 degrees.
You're very close, 42.
Wow.
In Horsham,
it's 42. We're 46 here. I just looked up here, but it's 42.
And how about in Quakertown?
I'm going to go 46.
45. So this is fun. Wasn't this fun? Guess the temperature.
Wow.
All right. Before I run out of time.
I was about to say there's a reason I'm not a weatherman, but you know what? I could qualify as a weatherman.
Why?
I was wrong.
There you go.
Ooh.
We're not going to go. Let's read the gospel because I'm about to run out of time. It comes from Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 49. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There's a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it's accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against a son against his father, and a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Again, Jesus is trying to get our attention. What's he saying here? He's saying that the truth, because it can't be changed, the truth, it's going to divide sometimes. We got to be careful that nothing gets between us and the Lord and our relationship with Him. And it happens all the time.
It's such great words for what's going on and everything in the world right now. There is divide. Divide's going to happen against our faith sometimes. It's being tested. You know, how do you keep that Lord, the Lord front and center?
Yeah,
you really do. It's a wonderful gospel, but and you open it up, and now we go to break. but it's true.
Much to unpack. The point is, the truth will divide. The truth doesn't change. The truth can't change.
Exactly.
So continue to proclaim the truth. When we come back, Jeannie Mancini, stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 27th. Today we celebrate Blessed Bartholomew of Vicenza. The man we honor today used his skills as a preacher to challenge the heresies of his time. Bartholomew was born into a noble family around the year 1200 and joined the Dominicans at age 20. Following his ordination, he served in various leadership positions. As a young priest, he founded a military order whose purpose was to keep civil peace in towns throughout Italy. In 1248, Bartholomew was ordained a bishop. Rather than being a tribute to his holiness and leadership skills, this honor was a form of exile instigated by an anti-papal group happy to see him leave for Cyprus. Not many years later, however, he was transferred back to Vicenza. Despite the anti-papal feelings that were still evident, the bishop worked diligently, especially through his preaching, to rebuild his diocese and strengthen the people's loyalty to Rome. During his years in Cyprus, Bartholomew befriended King Louis IX of France, who is said to have given the bishop a relic of Christ's crown of thorns. Bartholomew died in 1271 and was beatified in 1793. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
Positively the best way to start your morning. Gary Zimak is on Spirit in the Morning.
We hide pain in the weirdest places. Broken souls with smiling faces. Fighting for surrender. For now and the after, yeah. Just look around and you see that people are scared to say how they really feel. Oh, we all need a little honesty, yeah. You are loved. If your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost and you're far from reason, just look up, know you are loved. Just look up, know you. Superheroes, photoshopped, all size zeros. A light not expected, but not quite perfected, yeah. Look up, see the sun is shining. There's hope on a new horizon. Call it new, it's calling. You are loved. If your heart's in a thousand pieces, if you're lost and you're far from reason, just look up, know you are loved.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Stars Go Dim with You Are Loved. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for tuning into the program today. We are having some trouble connecting with Jeannie Mancini. We're going to keep trying to do that. In the meantime, we are here to start your day off in the right way. We want to thank you for listening to the program. It's a great pleasure to be able to be here with you, to be able to share the good news with you every morning. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk a little bit more about that gospel while I have a minute. It was a tough message, and it's funny. We went to a break just as we hit you with that bombshell, Jesus coming to tell us that he did not come to cause peace, but rather division. What does that mean? And really, as I said before the break, what that means is the fact that when Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to proclaim the truth, and the truth can't be changed. And the truth, as a result, what happens? The truth can divide, because at times, sometimes at times people are going to object to the truth. The truth can't change. So what do we do? How does that mean? How do we operate in our families? Are we called to constantly cause arguments? No, not at all. Typically, there is no problem. There is no problem when we typically do this. But the only thing that we need to remember is that when a personal relationship somehow gets in the way of our relationship with the Lord, then we've got to make some changes. And that's all he's saying. Just be alert. Normally, there is no problem with that. But at those times, when being pro-life, for example, gets in the way and somebody says, no, you shouldn't be pro-life, then you've got to follow the Lord. And that's very important to remember. All right, I believe we finally do have Jeannie Mancini on the phone. Let's see if this works. Hey, Jeannie, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. Jeannie, I want to start off now, before we get to the theme, which is a big announcement, the theme for the 2018 March for Life, I want to ask you about something a little bit more difficult to discuss, something you tweeted last night. And here's a tweet that you put out there, but I want to get your take on this. You said this, something is deeply wrong in our culture when a teenager getting an abortion is celebrated as a victory. What's going on with that, Jeannie?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because abortion is the human rights abuse of today.
Right.
And it's the most significant social justice issue. And as Catholics, of course, we've got a variety of perspectives on the importance of social justice and beautiful, beautiful church teaching, mm-hmm. really, on social justice. And so what we have here, I'm sure that your listeners are aware of this, but it's a situation where a minor came in, an immigrant into Texas, and was seeking a quote-unquote right to abortion. Mm. Abortion is not legal in her country of origin.
Wow.
And so she came to the United States, and of course with the pro-life administration and a really incredibly pro-life gentleman leading the Office of Refugee and Resettlement in the Department of Health and Human Services, they were horrified by the fact that this young woman would, you know, come in and seek an abortion in the United States, like, here, come to the United States and you can get an abortion since you can't in your country, and wanted to protect her.
Yeah.
For making such a terrible decision.
Right.
Of course, the ACLU fought that. Mm. And, you know, basically within minutes of getting the quote-unquote right to abortion, the ACLU got her off to an abortion clinic. And then very early yesterday morning, were celebrating. And if you could have seen, it was ghoulish, the tweet the ACLU put out. They were celebrating that this young woman had just had her abortion. And you know, when you take a step back and really analyze what's happened, it's so terribly sad. I mean, we're welcoming her with open arms. We're providing services. We're trying to give her the very best. So, I mean, we could pray for this young woman who I think in some ways has been really abused by not the system per se, certainly not the government, who was working for her best good and her baby's best good.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, she's been politicized here, and she was called, like, The Roe 2.0, you know, Jane Roe, Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, it just underscores the importance of speaking out for life and the March for Life, right? I mean, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to change the culture. We're trying to make people realize that life is a beautiful thing.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And you know, I think sometimes what happens in our culture is because abortion has been legal for so long.
Right.
It's almost like we become desensitized to the reality of what's going on.
I agree.
And, yeah, and the necessity of the urgency and, you know, to work against this. And also, you know, we have to remember that being pro-life is pro-woman. Mm. Mother Teresa has a beautiful, beautiful quote that abortion is profoundly anti-woman. All of the moms and half of the babies are women.
Wow.
And, of course, it's anti-man, too. It's anti-human.
Mm-hmm.
But these messages that young women receive in culture that a right to abortion is empowering or it's a positive thing is so erroneous, and it's so conflicting, and it does such terrible damage. So yes, we have to keep urgently fighting, and we fight with love. You know, that's like
exactly.
Our weapon is love, but there's an urgency to it.
And that's why I love having you on the show, because you're positive. And, you know, we were talking about this at the beginning of the program. Here at Spirit in the Morning, we present the tough issues. I have no problem presenting the tough issues, but I want to inspire the listeners. I want to lift people up. And even the pro-life movement, it's a positive movement. Yeah, if we get stuck dwelling on abortion and the horrible act that it is, that's not a good thing. I mean, we need to recognize it, but then we need to take it to the next level. Well, what do we do to make a change? How do we change the culture? And I think you do that so well. And the 2018 March for Life, in the past few weeks, you have announced the new theme. Could you share that with us?
Yeah, we are so excited about this, and I think it's so appropriate in our culture today.
Mm-hmm.
It's love saves lives. Love saves lives. And by that, there's a few sort of sub-themes or ways to explain it. Perhaps the most important is that love is costly.
Right.
Well, it's not always easy. You know, sacrifice and love go hand in glove. But it bears fruit. It bears tremendous fruit. And so that young woman who's facing an unexpected pregnancy, she needs support. She needs love. And it is a costly and a difficult thing to choose life at that moment. And yet, with the support, she can do it. And it will be the most rewarding, most wonderful experience that she's ever had in her life. And so that's one part. The other part is, so much of the pro-life movement is really rooted in providing services for families facing difficulties, facing an unexpected pregnancy. And for many, many years, we've had pregnancy resource centers around, maternity homes around. Tomorrow night, I have the honor of speaking at a wonderful maternity home here in our local area, and I've been able to this month speak at a few different ones. And at their galas, their fundraising benefits. And it's, you know, often, even last night I saw in response to that tweet that you mentioned, there were so many nasty responses saying, oh, all you care about is, you know, the baby in the womb, but once it's born, you don't provide anything.
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, nothing could be further from the truth. And so we plan at the March for Life this year to showcase the pregnancy care movement, which, by the way, is staffed like 98% with volunteers. Mm. I mean, it's just incredible when you look at all of the sacrificial gifts that people are making to help women once they've had a baby and in an unexpected and difficult situation.
Mm. And that is so important. And we try to highlight so many of these individuals on Spirit in the Morning. We've had them on. And you're right. We are not just saying you people should not have abortions. We are offering help. We are not judging. And I've spoken to so many people who are involved with these crisis pregnancy centers, and they don't judge, and they welcome the women, and they offer help. And I think that's what the pro-life movement is all about. Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life, thank you so much for joining us today on Spirit in the Morning. And we're looking forward to broadcasting live at the March for Life. First time we've ever done this. We're going to be there.
That's so awesome.
So we're excited. Jeannie, I know you're very busy, and I really am grateful that you make time for us on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and a blessing. Thank you.
Keep up the good work. We're going to be praying for you.
Thank you. Likewise.
All right. Thank you. God bless you. Jeannie Mancini, the president of the March for Life. Dave Parker.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Can I segue?
Yeah.
Tonight, Good Counsel Homes fundraiser. And that's Chris Bell, I believe.
Yes, a regular guest on the program.
Yeah, and Father Apostoli will be there. Excellent. I mean, that dovetails really well. But that goes to Jeannie's point about, and Gary's point, our point. We want to help, not non-judgmentally.
That's right. When we come back, Father Wade Menezes. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. An immigrant teenager in the U.S. illegally who became the center of a court battle over whether she could obtain an abortion has gone through with the procedure. Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony List expressed deep sadness at the news, saying our thoughts are foremost with this young girl who has now been saddled with the death of her child before she has even reached her 18th birthday. She said, quote, "We unequivocally reject abortion advocates' narrative that justice has been done in this case. Instead, the extreme agenda of the abortion lobby and the ACLU has claimed two victims and made a cruel mockery of the American dream," end quote. An analysis of newly released government data finds that premiums for the most popular health plans under the Affordable Care Act are going up by an average 34% next year. The independent analysis by the consulting firm Avalere Health finds that the Trump administration's actions are contributing to the price hikes, adding instability to the underlying problems of the health law's marketplaces. And Pope Francis is making his first phone call off the planet. The Pope today will reach out to the six astronauts on the International Space Station. It will be only the second time a pope has phoned the heavens like this. Pope Benedict XVI called the space station in 2011. A large Catholic contingent led by Cardinal Daniel DiNardo will also be gathering at Mission Control in Houston today for the long-distance chat. Space.com reports the call is scheduled to begin at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Social Security is with you through life's journey. Get to know us at socialsecurity.gov. We are there, day one, with baby names and a gift that lasts a lifetime. We are there as you grow, protecting you and those you love. We are there when you get your first job, helping you to save for the future. We are there when you marry your sweetheart, to help secure your new life together. We are there if the unexpected happens, to help you see life from a new perspective. We are there when you start your next chapter, to make sure you get off to a great start. And we are there when you lose your soulmate, to help make sure you will be all right. We are with you through life's journey. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. Get to know us and see what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I've got all these plans piled up sky high, a thousand dreams on hold. And I don't know why I got a front row seat to the longest wait. And I just can't see past the things I pray today. Sometimes where I stand on this narrow road is in a raging storm or a valley low. But oh, when I fix my eyes on all that you are, then every doubt I feel deep in my heart grows strong.
Cause when I seek your face and on the ground.
and welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek, and that was Strangely Dim by Francesca Battistelli. The time right now is 7:35. Recently, I ran across the book, The Four Last Things, A Catechetical Guide to Death, Judgment, Heaven, and Hell by Father Wade Menezes. It's from EWTN Publishing. I love the book, and you've heard me many times say on the program, we tackle the tough topics here. Now, this death, judgment, heaven, and hell, it's a tough topic for early in the morning, but I think it's so inspirational because it reminds us that this life on this earth isn't all there is, and we've got a finite time here on this earth, so let's get busy. Let's make the most of it. Father Wade joins us now to talk about the four last things. Father Wade, good morning.
Good morning to you, Gary. Thanks for having me on. I've had my two cups of coffee, so I'm ready to talk about the four last things.
I bet you are. You know, Father, I love the topic. I really do, because the older I get, the more inspired I get by the fact that my life on earth is going to come to an end, and I'm going to be judged. That fires me up, Father.
That's right. You know, the latest longevity statistics, Gary, for those of us living in the West, is 78 years. It's 78.8 for the female, 78.6 for the male. And the four last things, the church's eschatology, from the Greek word eschaton, meaning the last, the four last things, are very real: death, judgment, heaven, and hell, three of which will apply to each one of us personally. That is death, judgment, heaven, or hell.
Wow.
And it's the forgotten doctrine, I believe, since the Second Vatican Council, not to blame the council. The council was truly an authentic ecumenical council ushered in by the Holy Spirit. But I think some of the progressive forces in the church following the council thought that maybe the modern-day man and woman of the mid-1960s, when the council closed in 65, didn't need to hear so much about judgment and hell, but rather hear more about and a greater focus on salvation in heaven. When the truth be, Gary, that each of the four last things, each one of them complements the other three. So you can only understand the beauty of heaven and salvation when you understand the reality of death and judgment. And you can only understand the wickedness of hell when you understand the beauty of heaven and the ultimate end that we're called to, the beatific vision with God. So each one of them complements the other three, and this is why they cannot be separated.
Father, let's go through them. A lot of people spend a great deal of time running away from death, ignoring death, trying to just ignore the reality that we're all going to die one day. How is it that we can look at death and be uplifted?
You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1010, says that physical death, literal physical death of the body in the human person, completes our dying with Christ, the head, of which we are the member of his body. Because he died, he chose to die, we die. And so in baptism, sacramentally, in reality, but through symbolism, the three-time submersion in the water or the three-time pouring of the water on the infant, that is symbolic of dying to life, dying to death brought about by original sin, and then we rise again from the waters in new life. Then we live this average of 78 years. But the literal physical death at the end of one's life, whenever that is, whether young or old, that physical death literally completes the incorpore, the Latin for incorporated, in the body of, literally incorporates the individual into the fullness of the body of Christ. It's a beautiful passage. It's right there in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1010. Beautiful, beautiful passage. Just to take before the Blessed Sacrament and read it, and then meditate on it for 10 minutes, 15 minutes before the Blessed Sacrament. Another thing that I think is important here, we tend to forget about death because we live in such a fast-paced culture.
Right.
You know, I came across a survey recently of the top 10 things that people are afraid of, and I think it was like a Halloween theme survey. But going to the dentist was number 10. Dogs were number 9. Flying in airplanes, number 8. Severe weather, number 7. The dark, number 6. Heights, number 5. We're afraid of other people, number 4. The example was given public speaking.
Yeah.
We're afraid of other people. Places with no easy escape, like elevators and bridges, was number 3. Spiders, number 2, and snakes, number 1 on the list. And I thought to myself, as soon as I read this survey, where is hell?
Wow.
Is nobody afraid of hell anymore?
Mm.
And then it dawned on me just as quickly, the devil is so cunning. He won't let his kingdom be put on the list. hell.
Wow.
But he'll make himself number one on the list, the serpent. Huh. That's how cunning he is.
Wow. And he really is, Father. You know, I think one of the problems that we face in today's day and age is that people will say, God is all loving. Therefore, if God is all loving, there's no way I can ever be condemned to hell because that's mean. What would you say to that?
A, God is all loving, and B, God sends no one to hell.
Yeah.
That's right there in the faith as well, in the right. doctrine of the church on the eschatology. A person through their own unrepentance of a mortal sin, just one, not 17, not 23, not 106, but just one. The teaching of the church since the end of the first century, when the doctrine had to be defended against heresy, only one mortal sin, unrepented, and the person sends himself or herself to hell. And the church's teaching is very clear on that. That's in the 1030s of the Catechism, mm-hmm. 1034, 1035, 1037. God sends no one to hell. His mercy is there for the asking. Mercy is who God is. It's love's second name. God is more interested in our future than in our past. He's more interested in the kind of person we can yet become than in the kind of person we used to be. While indeed taking our sins seriously, no doubt, whether mortal or venial sins, he never, ever takes those sins as the last word. Why? Because he knows he's made us in his image and likeness. He knows he calls us constantly to a life of his sanctifying grace. And he knows he is our God. But we have to ask for that mercy.
Yeah. Father, that I'm just sitting here blown away by what you just said. One unrepented mortal sin, one, is enough to send us, me, to hell for all eternity.
By one's own doing.
By one's own doing, yeah.
Then there's the reality of judgment. So death and judgment, you know, there's the particular judgment when the individual dies and they are judged. And then there's the general judgment. What happens at the general judgment, time-honored teaching of the church, the particular judgment of the individual is ratified at the general judgment for all to know what it was and why it was what it was, the particular judgment. And so all is revealed, huh? Psalm 50 says that when our God comes again, he does not keep silence. And Augustine, who himself was an admitted lust addict who had a beautiful, profound conversion.
Right.
He fathered a child out of wedlock at age 17. He lived with a woman for 23 years whom he never married. He had a string of discarded mistresses, and he tells all in his Confessions, the great early church father, the Bishop of Hippo, St. Augustine. He says that Psalm 50, when our God comes, he does not keep silence. This is the truth of the doctrine that all will be revealed of each one's particular judgment at the general judgment. But for those who are saved, Gary, there will be no embarrassment about that because it will show how God's mercy moved in the person's life and how the person accepted that mercy from God, okay? Mm-hmm. But for those who are not saved, at the general judgment, when their particular judgment is not only ratified but revealed before all and why it was that, for those who are not saved, it'll be a great source of embarrassment, torment, and ridicule for them. Also, the Jesuit priest, Robert Bellarmine, did a great treatise on this doctrine of the faith as well.
Father, we're trying to fit a lot into a very short period of time, and I highly recommend your book, The Four Last Things, available from EWTN Publishing. It's a highly readable book, very understandable. One thing I want to touch on, and we have about 2 minutes left in this segment, is the fact that if somebody's listening, saying, wait a minute, I'm totally freaked out now. One mortal, unrepented mortal sin, I can send myself through that one mortal sin to hell forever. If that was the whole story, yeah, that would be a scary message. But on the flip side, God's mercy is infinite, and we have the wonderful sacrament of confession.
Absolutely, we do. You know, grace is increased. Yeah. Self-knowledge is increased. These are some of the benefits of the sacrament of penance. A greater abhorrence of mortal sin is understood in the person's life. A spirit of mediocrity or lukewarmness is overcome in the person's life by a good, holy, regular confession. And by that, the church's tradition tells us once a month, huh? Mm-hmm. Say in honor of the first Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart or in honor of the first Saturday devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Go to confession once a month. What a beautiful sacrament, God's great tribunal of mercy.
Yeah, and in your book you list practical steps to a sanctified life, and I highly recommend our listeners pick up a copy of it. You do mention monthly confession, weekly Eucharist, a morning offering, a daily rosary, daily chaplet of divine mercy, fasting, examinations of conscience, aspiratory prayers, daily liturgical readings. There are so many, and sacramentals, there are so many pieces of advice that you give to help us.
Yes, that's chapter 5, the necessity of the spiritual life. The first four chapters are death, judgment, heaven, and hell, respectively. Chapter 5, the last chapter, is the necessity or helps to the spiritual life. And, those are the things that help us live what I call eternity-minded. Mm. We need to live in such a way, whether single, married, or a consecrated priest, brother, or sister, doctor, farmer, lawyer, homeschooling mother of eight, the divorced dad of four, it doesn't matter. Retired grandparent, working grandparent, recently widowed grandparent. Mm. We need to live in such a way that we are eternity-minded each day. Right. We also should pray daily for the grace of a happy death. And I talk about in that same chapter, chapter 5, and also under death, the chapter on death, what I mean by the grace of a happy death, to die with no unrepentant mortal sin on our soul, to pray for the grace of holy viaticum, one's final holy communion if one is able to receive it, meaning that, you know, they don't have any apparatus on their face, for example, after a car accident in ICU,
right,
if they're able to receive it. Number two would be the holy viaticum. Number three, the prayers of commendation for the dying. Number four, the apostolic pardon. And these are great gifts regarding the grace of a holy and happy death, which St. Joseph is the patron saint of. And why is St. Joseph the patron saint of a happy death? Because of the very strong tradition that when he died, he was flanked on either side of his deathbed by the Blessed Mother and his foster son, Jesus Christ.
Wow. Father Wade Menezes, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit in the Morning. The book is The Four Last Things. Pick it up today. Thanks, Father. Boy, that was powerful. We'll be back.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel called the Sabbath a sanctuary in time. And in an age when we try to cram as much activity as possible into every minute, that sanctuary is especially important. A Sabbath rest gives us time to spend on our relationships with our family and friends and our God. It is a day for silence and music, conversation and reading, walking slowly and playing games, and especially for prayer and meditation. A day of sanctuary gives us rest emotionally as well as physically. It frees us from preoccupations that separate us from God's healing presence, renews us with peace that only God can give, prevents stress from damaging our health, and gives us a taste of the eternal rest promised to us. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
What's a good prescription for an awesome start to your day? A strong cup of coffee, Gary Zimak, and Spirit in the Morning.
Live like I was under attack, dodging arrows from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. But now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward, cause I know I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down. Yeah, I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt, gonna shoot me down, 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 down. Your love made a way. Now I'm not.
everything under control. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross and I know nobody's taking it from me. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, gonna shoot me down, 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 down.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. That was Bulletproof, brand new from Citizen Way. Let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. It comes from Luke chapter 7, verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." What's happening here is Jesus encountered a widow whose only son had just died. She had lost not only her son, but her means of support. The reason that I'm using this verse for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day is the fact that Jesus recognized that this woman was hurting, and he told her, "Do not weep." Here's what you need to know today. Whatever you're going through, he gets it. He gets it. He feels your pain. That's not just a metaphor. That's just not a sentiment on a greeting card. That is legit. Jesus feels your pain today. Talk to him. Ask for help. He gets it. He's got a human heart. He can feel what you're feeling. You see, that's one of the beautiful things about the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He can feel pain with his human heart. He understands what you're going through, so make sure you turn to him today. Boy, that was some segment from Father Wade.
Wow.
Dave, you know, it was...
I'm still blown away, yes.
Again, we don't present it to freak anybody out or to get anybody obsessing about death. What it is, it ties in with the gospel messages, and this has been repeated. You're going to hear this more in the upcoming week. Jesus is saying, guys, I'm telling you, this life's going to come to an end. Father Wade's at 78 years, 79 years, the average life expectancy.
Yeah.
To me, that just says get busy.
Yeah, men today, are closing the gap. It was like 0.2... But tenths of a percent.
At any rate,
women.
You know, so many times we think, oh, the second coming, when's the second coming going to be? We don't know when the second coming is going to be. We do know that our life on earth is relatively short.
Exactly.
And we just don't know, so let's get ready. Let's get busy. Let's go out and take care of those things that we always know that we should have taken care of, right?
Absolutely. I mean, don't hesitate.
Today's the day.
Today's the day.
Today's the day. Turn
and to
the Lord and, right?
I was going to say, in the cycle, the readings of the church, we're in that time, like we're hearing it
right.
daily, and on Sundays. I mean, it's the, you know, end times, if you will, but I mean, it's preparing us.
That's the key. It's not just to upset us, right?
You know, it's getting our attention. You know?
Right.
For us believers. If we do believe, then pay attention.
I see the squirrels running around, gathering their nuts for the winter. Well, you know, they're getting ready.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's the same thing. We got our heater taken care of for the winter. We got it, the maintenance done on the heater. Common sense.
Yeah.
Our lives are going to come to an end. Let's make sure that we're prepared. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a positive message.
And pretty simple. Yeah. Don't overthink it.
Right. Don't overthink it. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, that's why I'm so glad he could join us on the program today. The Four Last Things. Make sure you check out that book. I have a link to it on spiritinthemorning.com. Very quickly, tomorrow on the program, Teresa Peterson, singer-songwriter. She's been here before, a big friend of Holy Spirit Radio and Spirit in the Morning. She's going to be in the studio live performing songs from her new album. So we're really looking forward to that.
She's incredible.
She really is. Along with her husband, James.
There you go, James.
So, they're both going to be on the air and sharing what's going on in their lives. Frank Eliason, big things happening here at Holy Spirit Radio, too.
It is. So yesterday we made the decision that we're actually going to be upgrading basically all our equipment from the moment the satellite comes in through our boards, our studios, to very modern equipment. It's a huge commitment of the station and the foundation to radio, to broadcasting.
Praise God.
This is to ensure our continuation for years and years to come.
Wow.
But it is extraordinarily costly, so it's not an easy decision to make. But at the same time, it is so beneficial for us. You know, so this is the way most modern stations that run. This is if you're listen to an FM station. This is all the things they do to run. So most commercial stations run this way. So we've made that decision yesterday, and so probably about 6 weeks' time when the stuff comes in, we will start changing all our boards over. Today we have wires galore that run everything, and actually it goes down to, if you know networking, it goes down to Ethernet cable from one device to the other, and that's it. And so,
I call those the spaghetti wires. All we have to do is add sauce.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
So, but this is a definite commitment to broadcasting. It's definite commitment to radio by the Holy Spirit Radio Foundation.
Huge.
So it's going to be a challenging at times to develop. But once it's all done, once it's in place, it ensures our longevity. And so, ultimately, I think it's good to get that word out, but it's extraordinarily costly. You know, it's going to cost close to $40,000 or $50,000 to do. So could use help if anyone could do it, certainly. At the same time, I think it's to show that commitment that we very much want to make this a permanent fixture here in the Philadelphia area.
But go ahead, Gary.
I was just going to say, if somebody's listening and wants to help out, the best place to do it is
HolySpiritRadio.org, or give us a call at 215-345-1570.
And I was going to say, like many things or all things in the past, when we step out in faith whether they're small or huge, we have to trust. And I trust that the Lord will provide.
We know it's the right thing to do. We know it's something that we've said at some point we will need to do. We just decided, now's the right time to do this. And, it's going to allow us to create a great product. It's going to actually allow, today we have two studios, one for recording things, one for actually doing on the air. When this all gets done, they can both be on the air, they could both be recording things, they can actually do multiple purposes, and so allow us a lot more functionality. But one of the functions is potentially easily hooking into, say, a parish, and putting a device in the parish and connecting it to this system would allow us to broadcast, say, a mass from a parish.
Wonderful.
Very easily. And so, these are things that we'll be bringing to you.
I was going to say, it's a Mother Angelica moment.
Yeah. Stepping out in faith, right?
Exactly.
Stepping out of the boat. We're walking on the water.
Absolutely, brother.
Don't forget, Teresa Peterson live in the studio tomorrow. And until we meet again, this is Gary Zimak reminding you that wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord's with you. Just make sure you tell him hi.
God bless. Goodbye.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating